A number of states miss their budget deadlines. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. July 1st marked the beginning of a new budget year in most states, but 10 still haven't passed a budget. That's leading to government shutdowns in some places. Marketplace's Mariel Segura is here with us live. Mariel, I saw signs on the New Jersey Turnpike yesterday saying all state parks were closed. Which other states are we talking about?
Connecticut, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, yes, New Jersey, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin have no budget plan. And in Pennsylvania and Michigan, a budget is waiting for the governor's signature.
That's a lot of states. Why the delay?
You know, it varies. In a lot of cases, the governor and legislators are seeing who can hold out the longest over some point of disagreement, right? So in Wisconsin, it's how to pay to fix the roads. In Maine, they're fighting over income taxes. In Oregon, it's about business taxes. In New Jersey, they're fighting about whether the state's largest health insurer should be forced to contribute hundreds of millions of dollars to public health causes.
And what has this lack of a budget meant in these states?
Well, three states have shut down parts of the government. Maine closed its non-emergency state offices like the Department of Labor, the State Library. In New Jersey this weekend, Governor Chris Christie shut down non-essential state services like parks. So that means state beaches are closed for the 4th of July. Also, a bunch of Cub Scouts were kicked out of a state park during a camping trip. And thousands of state workers have been put on leave. Things in Illinois are even worse. The state hasn't passed a full year budget since 2015. So now it's got a $6 billion budget deficit. It's about to run out of money for schools, pensions, payroll, and its bonds might get downgraded by S&P to junk status. That would be the first time that's happened to a state. Other states have laws or they've passed emergency orders that keep the lights on while they come up with a plan.
Marketplace's Mariel Segura, thanks. Let's do the numbers. Shares closed slightly higher in Hong Kong today on news that China is opening its bond market to foreign investors. The Hang Seng Index was up about 0.1%. In Shanghai, the CSI 300 Index fell about 0.4%. In London, the FTSE is trading up about 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.2% to 0.3% range. Republican efforts to repeal or replace Obamacare are on hold until Congress returns to Washington after the July 4th recess. Cuts to Medicaid have been at the center of the fight. The Senate's current plan would cut Medicaid spending for the poor and disabled by hundreds of billions of dollars. And one little noticed target would be schools. Marketplace's Rima Crace explains.
This fall, 13-year-old Addie Ellis from Milwaukee will be an eighth grader. She was born with a rare disorder and is nonverbal. But her mom, Terry Hart Ellis, says Addie's always been with her peers in a regular class.
She has shown us things that really, as you know, a nonverbal child, it would be easy not to ever have pulled those things out.
At school, Addie has a one-on-one aide and has also received things like physical and speech therapy. For decades, school districts have relied on Medicaid to help cover costs for special ed services like those and more.
Vision screenings, hearing screenings, managing their asthma and diabetes.
Sasha Podelsky is with the School Superintendents Association. She says Medicaid gives school districts up to $4 billion a year.
It's going to be impossible to imagine a scenario with less money from the federal government, school districts being able to maintain reimbursement.
And districts are required to provide special ed services. So to make up for losses, superintendents say they might have to cut back on nurses or after-school programs like art and sports. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Failure is often celebrated as a key part of innovation. Now there's a new museum devoted to it. Sweden's Museum of Failure opened last month. Reporter John Lawrenson went to Helsingborg on the southern coast of Sweden to take a look.
This is the Roland 303 synthesizer.
In the Failure Museum with its creator, the Icelandic-American psychologist Samuel West, who's telling me about the history of the 303 that was supposed to sound like a bass guitar.
The problem with it is that it sounds nothing like a bass guitar.
Okay, that is a problem.
That's a problem. And it wasn't popular. They couldn't basically not give them away. It was a weird sort of sound to it. And the manual weighed more than the actual device.
Uh-huh.
And then it was so difficult to program, so people just gave up.
Then DJs in Chicago got hold of this synth after the thing had gone out of production and invented acid house music. There's usually a moral to the 70 tales of failure in this museum. For the Roland 303, it might be what your product's good for might not be what you think it's good for. For $10, you can come in and find out why Apple Newton failed or Colgate TV dinners. But if failure doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. As Winston Churchill said, success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. Helsingborg City Council's head of future, Mikko Grönholm. I met him as he was addressing a conference on innovation. The municipality is contributing funds to the Failure Museum. I asked him if he was worried about making the city a sort of European failure capital.
I would love that, make Helsingborg a capital of failure. Because everybody that works with innovation, that works with new stuff, startups for instance, know that failure is important for innovation. If you want to innovate, if you want to develop something, if you do want something new, you have to accept that failure is not an option. You have to fail.
To prevent it from failing, Failure Museum founder West is hoping corporations will pay $1,000 for private tours. In Helsingborg, Sweden, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
Headed to the grocery store for your July 4th barbecue? According to Bloomberg, retail beef prices are at their lowest in 3 years, thanks to higher supply. And it's worth noting the source here, but 87% of consumers are expected to grill something on July 4th, according to the folks who make the Weber grill. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.